the Wayne Ayers Podcast.
The Wayne Ayers Podcast.
Woohoo!
Time to wake your ass up for a blessed day.
Bob, how are you doing?
I'm good. Movie comes out today, so it's like off to the gods, you know?
Yeah,
that's literally off to the gods, the good gods, I hope.
Yeah. So how was like this whole process been, like the premiere, shooting, the premiere? How's it all been for you? Because, you know, it's the second go around.
It's been truly, truly, truly mind-blowing. You know, like this movie is so much bigger than the first one, and the people involved, like the cast is bigger. We have Dame Helen Mirren, we have dragons, we have minotaurs, we have unicorns. We have so much going on in the movie. So it was truly exciting to be a part of studio movie of that size with so many cool special effects and so many different things that I had never done before. The premiere was this week. It was amazing to get the whole cast together because, like you say, it's second time around. It's almost like I have my Shazamly, like they're my family for real, from the kids to the adult versions, to the parents of the kids, the mamas of the other kids. So that was a treat to be together. It was, you know, obviously the worst day of the week, worst weather, the worst rain, but F it. We just did it, you know? Right. So I'm just so excited that the world gets to see it finally. And I think people are going to love it. And that's it. There's nothing more I can hope for, you know?
Oh, yeah. This cast is like completely loaded. So like, what was it like the first day on set when you see like everybody just like, yo.
Like the 40 names on the call sheet?
Yeah, just like everybody, like everybody's just there like yo.
Where am I? I'm here. I'm not too low. It's not too bad. it was great. I remember meeting Dame Helen Mirren on set and losing my everything, you know, because she's so beautiful and lovely and British and funny. And then basically, I don't know, just like being part of a movie that is so big, but also that has so much heart, being the heart of the movie, like my character continues to be the heart of the movie. All the kids still gravitate towards her. And it doesn't matter how many special effects we have. It doesn't matter how many dragons try to eat my kids. At the end of the day, it's all about family. And this movie shows it even better. So I'm proud that I get to be part of that storyline. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Go ahead, Tatiana.
So, yeah, I had a question, actually. I actually got to see the movie Wednesday night, so it was a blast. It was a good time. And I live in Atlanta, so I have to know, how did you feel about shooting in Atlanta?
Oh, I love, so lucky. I love your city. I love it. I love living in Atlanta. Everyone was like, no, Hotlanta, this. We're going to be shooting in the summer, because we shot the first one in the dead of winter in Toronto, which,
oh gosh, okay,
from Spain. And shooting in like minus 40 Celsius on day was like a fucking nightmare. And I kept thinking, my parents came to visit me in Toronto and they were coming from the Grand Canyon in Arizona. So they arrived, it was like April around my birthday, right? And they opened the curtains and it's like a snowstorm. And my mom turns around and she's like, what is this? You know, so she said, you better tell the Warner Brothers people that for the sequel, we want a warm place, you know? So then when we got Atlanta and we got Atlanta in the summer, they were like, not complaining now, right?
Right.
And I said, oh no, I'm not complaining. We arrived and it was very hot.
It's very hot, yes.
Right by Piedmont Park, in a lovely apartment. I had the whole view of the park. I loved it, you know, and being a white European woman, growing up in Spain where it's 99.99% white, and I loved moving to America and understanding diversity, which is something that I've learned, and I love this country for that. And I think maybe growing up here, you guys take it more for granted because you grew up here and like people live with one another because they have to, you know. Yeah. For better or for worse, they have to. And I didn't grow up like that, so I arrive in Atlanta, and I tell you this because the first night that we went out to place, maybe it's called Sugar or I can't remember. It was some my kid Asher, who plays Billy's brother. Mm-hmm. They had a party and they were launching something. So they said, Mama Rosa, can you please come? And And I arrive and I was wearing, I don't know, like jeans and a t-shirt. And I walk into this place and there's all this fabulous women. I was the only white woman in that place. And they were all completely like the perfect outfits, the perfect jewelry, the perfect hair, the nails, the eyelashes, the drinks. And I was like, wow, this is so different from what I know. And mm-hmm. this is what it feels like to not be always the majority somewhere. And I'll never forget that Atlanta taught me that cultural lesson for me that was beautiful. Like we would go to a restaurant, fancy restaurant or not so fancy, you would have the lovely lady with her pearls who belonged to the Upper East Side in New York and out of like Sex and the City next to some rapper with like all over. And they were like sitting literally in the table next to one another. And I thought that I've only seen this in Atlanta. Like it's so truly integrated and diverse, in my opinion. That I didn't want to leave, man. I just didn't want to leave.
I'm glad you like the vibe.
Like a week
That's
after,
really what it is.
Yeah, like until a week after I finished shooting, and I stayed a little bit longer. Like, and I was getting married. I had to go get married in Spain, but I was like, got a couple more days. You know, I'd still have this apartment. Like, I'm cool. I loved it. I loved your city.
Love it. Love it.
You didn't throw the bachelorette party there.
Yeah. I wonder if you went to Sugarfish. That's what my mom was thinking.
It was Sugarfish, right?
I think so.
It has lot of colors and it's pink and it has like candy. It looks like candy everywhere. And I think there's one in Vegas.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. I just remember because I lived on a street. It was 12th Street, I think, northeast. Towards Piedmont, right? Like to one of the entrances of the gate of the park. And on the corner, there's a restaurant, STK. There's one in New York.
Yes. So
I remember.
You were outside. outside for real.
Yeah. And I remember like driving from the studio like every day, exhausted, you know, like hot and like wanted to like, you know, jump in the pool or whatever. And see all these women waiting online to get in to this club restaurant. Like I tell you. So committed to their outfits that it made me want to be better about, hey girl, curl your hair sometimes. Like look at this example. They were all like committed, you know, and in the heat, you know, because it was pretty hot that summer. But I would love if hopefully we get another movie and I will totally like beg Atlanta.
Yeah. What's the best part about being in a superhero movie? Like, I feel like that's a dream for many actors, a dream for many people in general. But like, what's the best part about it?
You know what it is? I think how far you reach with movies like this, like the story that we told and the character of Mama Rosa, especially inspiring kids that are orphans, kids that are in the foster care system, kids that have come from really unstable family backgrounds or broken homes, and then they see themselves reflected in this movie, and that my character Mama Rosa brings them together and gives them hope. Like there's hope, even if you come from a not a good place, there is hope for you to find a good place and find women like Mama Rosa in real life. So when you see that sent to the furthest corner in the world, like I've gotten people the other day, I got a message from someone in Philippines, in India, that I've seen the first movie and they say, wow, I'm in the foster care program. And like, this movie inspired me so much. I can't wait to see the second one. Like any other sort of film or TV show might not have the reach that being in a superhero movie like this does. And that is to me what matters the most. Like, yeah, it's cool to see your billboards everywhere. And like the other day I was in New York and the entire Times Square is pasted with the face of Zach, you know, and you're like, that's my movie. So that's great. And it feels, you feel like like super giddy, but I think what matters the most is the message that I just told you that gets sent across is what I keep on in my heart, you know.
Do you guys plan to make another movie? Like is there talks about like Shazam 3?
I mean, you want to call Warner Brothers and ask for me? I don't know. You would want to hope. It's not something that they tell us. I would imagine that I have to say personally that I think this movie is better than the first one. I don't just say that. I think that it has, it's packed and it's more complicated because there's more things happening, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's funny. It's light. It's joyful. It has a lot of funny moments. Mama Rosa even has a one-liner, like, Mama Rosa's even funny. Like, I didn't think I was gonna be funny, and look at me, I can even be funny in a movie, you know. So listen, in this day and age, and as we know, the superhero world, you never know what's gonna happen. But all we can do is hope for the best. And if the best happens, then I hope they call me back, you know.
So let's just say this is Shazam 3. Like, what would you like to personally do with your character?
I have been dreaming about this. So if there is a Shazam 3, I want Batman to come over, go do whatever he wants with Shazam and all the other little Shazamitos, and they could go fly around or whatever. They can just leave me in the Batcave so I can go and take the Batmobile for a drive. Mm. That's what I want to do. Mama Rosa driving Batman's car. James Gunn, write that down.
That would be a good scene.
And like skipping like a red light, I'd be like, oops, I'm sorry. Sorry, Batman, you know. We're still in the same family. Like, it could happen.
It could happen, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That...
All right, yeah, I like that. Now, I have an inside joke question. How many, did you guys have a bunch of Skittles on set?
Actually, no, we did not. But, no. No, but Darla's character, I mean, Faith's character, obviously, it's all about the Skittles. I didn't know, because I didn't grow up in this country, I didn't know that the headline of the commercials for Skittles is Taste the Rainbow. I didn't know that's what
okay,
it is.
Okay, okay.
So, and Michael, my publicist who's here today, I had forgotten Darla's line. When she's on the unicorn, I don't want to do any spoilers, but when we were at the premiere the other day, I thought, oh, so, you know, Mama Rosa has like a pretty funny, you know, like a pretty funny line. Maybe it was one of the funniest in the movie. And Michael, my own publicist, is saying, no, 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 your line is not the funniest. The funniest one is Darla's on top of that unicorn, Taste the Rainbow. And then when I saw it, because I had forgotten it at the premiere the other day, and the entire movie theater lost it, I thought
that's exactly what happened in my movie. It was crazy. But I was just wondering if they were like casually lying around, if you guys were eating Skittles around the set.
I mean, we have crafty all kinds of junk food and candy for the kids anyway, but not Skittles specifically. They did give them out at the premiere though, and I have a whole bag.
Oh, here. That's nice.
Which is really cute, you know.
Yeah. That is cute.
There's a special clip in the film that, like, where Mama Rosa, I don't want to give it away, but like Mama Rosa, like, you know, gets surprised by her kids. You guys know what I know. Has there ever been a moment like when you like you personally just shocked your parents or something, like that you told them?
That I shocked my parents? Yeah. You know, I don't think so. I've been a pretty good daughter. When I first started coming to LA, and I was super lonely at the beginning, and my best friend, who's married to Thor in real life, Chris Hemsworth, my best friend Elsa, I was staying in her apartment in Santa Monica, and she wasn't there, she was filming somewhere, and I didn't know anybody, and I had just met my agents, and my manager was in New York, and I was miserable. I would go to yoga in the morning, and like I wouldn't talk to people for like days because I didn't know anyone. And I would just go home and read a play and sulk in the corner and feel sorry for myself. And I remember calling my mom one day, crying, like, I just can't do this. This is so lonely. No one calls me. I'm never gonna have an audition. Mom's like, buy a bottle of wine, have a glass of wine, smoke a cigarette, and relax. Okay, go to bed. And just stop whining. No one forced you to do this job. So like, whatever, I'm not sorry for you, you know? Said, oh, well, great mom, thank you. So I went to Whole Foods in Venice and I bought a bottle of wine, Spanish wine. And I didn't really drink alcohol, you know? So here I am, I have two glasses of wine. I get hammered. I crawl to bed. I had the cigarette. Luckily, I didn't burn the house down. And I go to bed. And the next day I call my parents and I'm like, Dad, I have something to tell you. I drank like by myself. And my dad is, so, I mean, what's welcome to being an adult, you know? It's like, no, but it's bad. Like I was drinking alone. It's just not good. So get it together. Have another glass of wine today. So I thought I would shock them with that, but that didn't really shock them either. So yeah.
Okay. That's good. Oh, you play like you're an on-screen mother, of course. Do you have like three like of your who's like your three favorite on-screen mothers? It could be from TV show or movie.
Wow, that's a good one. I would have to think about it for a second. On-screen mothers.
There's many of them.
I know there's many of them, but like really good ones.
I can only think of the bad ones right now.
I know. I'm thinking of like witches. I'm, you know, Cruella. Morticia Adams is a good one. She's good. Mm, I mean, she's okay. She's a little scary, but she's good. What's the other one? Nala's mother in The Lion King, Sarabi.
That's a good one.
That's a solid.
That's a great one.
Yeah, because she's like, no, Simba, no. You go, do the right thing. Let's see, what else? Oh, you know what? Because I just love that movie. You know the movie Arrival, Denis Villeneuve. About Amy Adams and it's all these aliens that come to Earth and think they're invading us, but in reality they're just trying to come help us. And she has all these what we think are flashbacks, but in reality are flash forwards of what's going to happen with that daughter who then ends up dying, but she still chooses to have that life and like bring that child to the world and give her all the love. And when I understood in the movie that it wasn't a flashback, that it was a flash forward, and she still chose to bring that child to life and give her love for the few years that she was alive. Wow. I thought, that's a mother. You know,
Arrival was crazy. Have you seen that movie, Wayne?
I think I've seen like some of it.
Wayne, you have to like sit down and watch
it's
it.
Insane.
It's so everything about, you know, when they just try to send us this message of, there is no time. And we think, you know, as humans, oh, that means that they're going to like blow us up and the Chinese against the Russians and the Russians against the Americans. This aliens are looking at us like, you bunch of idiots. We're not here.
That's the movie.
I seen that movie in parts. Like I seen like some of the end of it and I seen some of the beginning of it, but like I never like just
the music,
sat down.
The design of the spaceships.
Yeah.
So good.
And I know we did a cameo in the movie. I don't want to say who, but are there any other people from the DC universe besides Batman that you would like to make a cameo in the next Shazam movie?
You know, which is kind of funny that, and I'm not spoiling anything because I know DJ Catrona, I think I talked about this publicly, and the other day he told me, and I love him, he's like my other little favorite kid, the big version of Pedro. And he said, wouldn't it be hilarious to have all the Shazams that are this adorable, innocent kids against sociopathic murderers in Suicide Squad? And seeing how
that would be a lineup, like a matchup.
imagine they're all like completely out of their minds, and the Shazam is just purely innocent, filled with love, and you know, still strong and still fast and all these things. So I don't know. He told me this the other day and I thought that would be funny. It would just be funny.
Yeah.
So that for sure. And I think that's about it for me.
Oh, yeah. Say Teen Titans.
Wonder Woman, I'm not going to say anything about Wonder Woman, you know. I'm just going to leave it out there.
Who doesn't like Wonder Woman?
And the part that involves her in our movie and how she's presented, and that part with Jaimin the wizard is
so funny.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen, and how it was filmed when we were shooting it. You know where we shot it, by the way, because you'll know the restaurant Marcel.
Oh my God, yes. I went to that restaurant last year for my birthday.
Oh, I love that restaurant. Isn't it so good?
It's so
amazing.
Yeah, it's so
in Atlanta, and like a bunch of them from New York, from like Le Colonial, that I loved so much. The what is the other one? Le Bill Bouquet across in Buckhead.
Mm-hmm. You know all the spots. You were
girl. I'm an amazing lymphatic drainage massage lady you need, I can tell you.
Yes, actually.
Awesome. She's
that would
Brazilian.
Be great.
It's called Forma. F-O-R-M-E. F-O-R-M-A. And they're great. Yeah, man.
Love
I mean, you know, let's get me another movie in Atlanta, please. but what was I telling you? Yeah. So that restaurant, Marcel, they filmed that dreamy sequence, and gosh,
oh, okay,
filming it because Jaimin's character is kind of miserable in the movie, right? He's just upset and he's been in prison forever. Mm-hmm. But for Jaimin to film with us in Atlanta, in the height of the summer, he had this wig, the beard and the wig with the dreadlocks, and it was made of wool. So,
oh gosh,
filming outdoors in the sun.
Poor thing.
Poor Jaimin. He would be pools of sweat. We would have all these big fans, but it didn't matter because you know how these big movies, we film three sentences in 4 days.
Right.
They're melting.
Yeah.
So knowing that, knowing his, it was just, he was delightful. He was delightfully funny the entire film. We love him.
Me personally, I want to know if you could like trade places with like another character in the Shazam sequel, like who would you want to trade places with?
Oh, Darla. I mean, I know that I couldn't, but she's the cutest thing I've seen in my life. And when I first met her in the first movie, I went to her mom, Donna, and I said, can I please kidnap this girl? I mean, you have, I promise y'all to take good care of her. She's just too adorably perfect. I just can't. She's like a little purple cupcake that you just want to eat, you know? And even now, she was the other day at the premiere, she was wearing this beautiful lilac color dress. She looked like a mermaid. And I said, just stop it. Just come with me. I have a home. I have a room for you. and just the character, how it was also beautifully played by Megan, the adult version, because she still is so charming and so
mm-hmm.
just like lively and adorable and squishy, you know? So I'm not as adorable and squishy, but if I could be, I would want to be that.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay. I also want to know, like, because there's always this debate from Shazam versus Superman. Like, you personally, who would you have in that battle?
Oh, is that even a question?
Yeah, I mean,
he's
like
my son, of course, Shazam.
But I'm just
Superman,
saying,
Superman,
like,
boring. No, no, you're also an alien, so whatever, you know, Kryptonite. No. Shazam, he's cute and he's funnier. Superman is very, very serious.
He is a little uptight,
very moody, and oh, you know.
Would you date Superman though?
I would absolutely not date Superman. I would absolutely date Batman. Also because he's human.
Okay. So
dating an alien. Even though, you know, did you know that Superman's mom's name is Martha?
No. I didn't know that. Wayne probably
names,
knew that.
But I'll take her as like, oh, it was meant to be, you know, to be in the DC world. And
yeah.
Actually, the Flash's mom in the new movie coming out mm-hmm. is also an actress from Spain, Maribel Verdú.
Yes,
that's coming
okay.
out in June, and my dear friend, who's wonderfully talented, is directing it. Oh my God, I'm blanking on their names. Barbara and Andy Muschietti,
mm-hmm.
and the movie
that's
I haven't
incredible.
Seen, but it's meant to be amazing. So, fellow Spaniard, yes. As a mom of another DC superhero, it's kind of cool.
I know that's something to clap up for. So
yeah.
you would date Batman. Who would,
I would
you?
Absolutely date Batman. But again, just because of the cape and the Batmobile, I love Fast Cars. That's all.
Who would you want to be friends with in the universe? Like a best friend? If Batman's going to be your boyfriend.
I would befriend the Joker.
What?
Yeah.
You can't be befriending his ops, his enemies.
No. I would befriend him to make sure she doesn't mess with Batman. I would do it in a way that, you know, I would charm him. I mean, if he doesn't kill me, you know.
I think the Joker would try to use you to get to Batman.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe not. Catwoman looks pretty cool.
You be trying to steal your man, though.
I know.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
I said she would be trying to steal your man, though.
I know. I know. But I'm more wholesome. She's more broken, you know. The character, not the actress's
play. Yes, yes.
Just for the record, I love Zoe. Who else? Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. The penguin.
I could see you and Harley hanging out.
Oh, that is true. I mean, she's cuckoo, but, you know, I can try to pretend to be, you know, be like, I just have to go home and make some broccoli puree for my kids. But hey, wait up for me. Let's just go dress on the streets.
Girls night out.
She's like, yeah, we'll wait for you, Mama Rosa. We'll be right back.
If you could play like another comic book character from either DC or even the MCU, like which comic book character would you want to play?
Let's see. I guess Catwoman would be really cool. But I think mostly because of the outfit. You know, like that,
yeah.
Like latex, it's just so sexy, you know? I recently watched, was it Batman Begins? Which one is the one with Michelle Pfeiffer and the Penguin? That's or Batman Forever. I confuse the titles.
There's so many Batman movies.
I know, there's so many.
One so from many the movies. I think it was from 91 or 92. I saw it on the plane the other day. Man, I mean, she is also so beautiful, but it just really has to do with the outfit and the physicality also, because, you know, she's a cat, right? And I did a movie last year in Bulgaria, and I ended up meeting the choreographer who worked with Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker. It was this amazing woman from Sweden who choreographed all his moves as the Joker when he becomes the Joker. If you pay attention in the film, until the Joker kills, he is, his physicality is always below the axis of the frame. If you watch the movie again, check it out, because it's remarkable what they've done. The audience doesn't understand, but it's studied in a way that he is like this, like almost like under the axis, right? And then when he finally kills and he has that dance in the bathroom before he comes down the stairs, remember? He sort of like slowly rises up until his arms are straight up, like almost like Jesus Christ on the cross. And he becomes so powerful that you don't know necessarily what it is that makes you feel that when you watch it, but what it, like, technically what they do is have him become above the axis of the frame for the rest of the movie, right? And I thought that was so fascinating to work with body language like that and body movement. So I ended up working with her for this film, and she taught me how to move. Like, I had to have this inspiration in a female tiger, which is basically a cat. Mm-hmm. And she told me all about the physicalities to play feline characters. And of course, the ultimate feline character is Catwoman, you know?
Right.
And I was like, man, I just, because I studied so much with her about that character, it always stayed with me, like, it would be so cool to work with you, you know, to play Catwoman. Hey, Warner Brothers.
They might go into a multiverse with it. Who knows?
Multiverse. Mama Rosa and Catwoman. Hey, why not?
Yeah, I mean, it can happen. I know, like, sometimes in movies, like, I feel like it happens all the time, but like some certain scenes don't get to make the cut. Was there a scene that you filmed that you like wish was in the movie?
Yes, I was really bummed about one where I'm flying. I mean, I'm not technically flying, I'm being flown. So, because you've both seen the movie, right?
I haven't yet.
Yeah, you haven't.
No, I haven't yet.
Watch it. I won't make any spoilers, but there's a scene. I won't tell you what happens, but basically the kids arrive and I find out they're superheroes, and then something happens and we have to leave our home, and how we leave our home is flying. But obviously I don't fly. The wizard doesn't fly, and my husband Victor doesn't fly. The scene that was cut is Mary is carrying me. So she's flying and I'm under, she's holding me. And I think Adam Brody is carrying, I don't know if it's the wizard or Victor, but the hilarious thing when we were filming it, I was next to Jaimin. And like I said, Jaimin had the wig and the fake beard, right? With the moustache. So to film when you're flying, you're obviously doing it in a sound stage. And they have this huge, huge fans to give all this wind. So like, it looks like you're flying in the sky. But of course, for us in the story, we're flying for the first time. So we are literally looking around, me and the wizard and Victor, like, what? It's amazing, like that, no? Well, like the wind is, and as this is happening, one of the takes, Jaimin is looking at me like, and then half of his beard came unglued from his of the wind. But the wind was so strong that he wasn't feeling it. It was flapping on his face, you know? And he was super serious looking at me with his beard like flapping like this, you know? And I could not, but no one said cut. And I was just laughing out loud so hard because I couldn't keep my face through with like Jaimin's beard like flapping on his cheek, you know? So I said to our director, David, is anyone seeing this? We can't shoot this. So that didn't make the cut. They just show us landing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. It was just, I would have loved to see it for myself, but I understand like in the story, that's fine. It doesn't add or subtract a lot. It's just, it would have been cool.
To see me. So it might get make harnessed the for that, right?
Say that again.
Oh. No, I was saying, cause you had to get harnessed up for that, right?
Yes.
To shoot that scene. So did a lot of work.
I mean, I had to put the harness and then they have the same, your same costume, but a size up. So you put the harness underneath and then you put, I had the jeans and the t-shirt that were like a size up. So like, and then it was simple. They just grab you from behind and then Grace was on top of me and they did the same thing with her. But I guess at least I got to shoot it. It was awesome to shoot, you know?
And what were you saying, Wayne, maybe in the bloopers?
Yeah, could add to the bloopers or extended version. Who knows?
You know what? I'm going to ask David, our director. I'll be like, come on, just throw it in there, man.
Okay, you play a mother of a superhero. So I want to know, if you could solve three problems in the world today, what three problems would you choose? I know there's many more, but
where would you start? I would have, first of all, the power that I would want to have is to heal. If you could heal any person suffering, healing in pain, people that you love, your family, kids that are sick, you know, for me, children that are sick is something that it's the only moment in my life where I've ever questioned God is when you see a child having a disease that, you know, they shouldn't be having. It's something that I cannot explain, justify the existence of God in that way, you know? So that would be one for sure. Any conflict of war, any hunger or displacement for anybody that feels unsafe enough or bad enough that they have to leave where they're from and go to another country that they don't speak the language, go into a refugee camp. Like, that's something that is just so wrong as humans to have to be misplaced like that. If I could fix that, I would. I don't know how, but I would like to fix that for sure.
Great.
Yeah, that's the main one. So healing. What are some fun powers that you would like to have?
Fun powers. I guess invisibility would be a cool one.
would be a cool one.
Yeah, you know. Let's see.
I would prank so many people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. You're just thinking about pranks. I would like rob a bank.
Okay.
you're naughty. I think invisibility. What
That's
other? I
my
don't
first
know.
thing I think about invisibility. I'm like, I would rob a bank.
I'm just trying to get the bank.
You tied it for cash? Let's see. Invisibility would be a fun one for sure. What others?
Travel through space and time would be
time travel. Ooh, oh, for sure.
Teleporting. Yeah.
Oh my God. I would love to travel and meet Jesus Christ. Cause I feel what it must have been to meet that person in real life when he was on top of a mountain talking to fishermen and multiplying fish and breads. I mean,
would you warn him?
You know, I think he already knew all along. So knew who was what he was getting into. But I would definitely want to meet him. I know would fall in love with him. I know. I mean, Mary Magdalene and him for sure had something going on. There's no doubt. and why not? What is this thing about? Oh, right. Why couldn't it? You know, I would do that. I would want to travel to the times of the pyramids of Egypt. And Tutankhamun and Nefertiti, Cleopatra, Aida. I mean, come on, to see the pyramids in the splendor of when they were covered in gold. Yeah. Let's not think about how they were covered in gold and how they were built on the
bricks. Right.
Which is obvious.
Construction, you know. Like I don't get it.
unless there was some alien, because you know, they say it was way too advanced and way too perfect for it to just
right
with them, like how it was astrologically, how they are,
yeah, and geometry, how did they,
so it sounds to me like a little like arrival happened back 3,000 years ago and we don't know. Mm-hmm. But whatever, I don't know, that would be cool to time travel to that time.
Do you guys believe in aliens?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
I mean, of course.
I always think like either we're alone in the world or we aren't, and both are like equally scary.
Do you think think there's like aliens disguised as people?
Oh, like Men in Black?
Yeah, I mean, like that's like a rumor going out there.
I don't know.
Do you guys remember the movie Contact?
No, I don't.
No,
it's another alien movie. Listen, I'm not that into alien movies, but lately, I don't know why. this one is Jodie Foster. This is it's an old movie. Jodie Foster is a scientist, and they receive this information from aliens to build a spaceship. And they build a spaceship. The humans build a spaceship, and supposedly they're just going to go meet the aliens or whatever. And she decides.
Okay.
And she is the one that is going to go in the little, it's a one person cubicle, right? Mm-hmm. Do you want me to tell you what happens or no? You want to watch it?
Go ahead. You can tell us.
You can tell us.
They build a whole thing and she goes and the spaceship is going and everyone thinks that it's going to just go, out of the atmosphere. But what we see, what the audience sees is that the spaceship just like falls through and falls into the water. But what happens to Jodie Foster is that she absolutely travels through time and she meets her dad on a beach who has died and all these things happen to her on a personal level. And she doesn't believe in God. She doesn't believe in, she just believes in science. So she comes back and she's like, oh, it worked. I did this. And everyone is like, no, it didn't work. You just fell through the thing. But they find that there's all these hours of static recorded, not like the 1 second that the thing. So at the end, you know that what happened, it really happened, you know? But the reason I tell you about this movie is because she has a conversation with the priest who's played by Matthew McConaughey, I think. And they're looking at the stars one day and she says, or he says, I can't remember. I think it's him or she, I can't remember. She says, wow, look at this. Look at all this space, right? The space that's out there. If we really are alone, what a waste of space.
Yeah.
Even because of that, think there's no way we can be alone. There's no way. It's just this where we are.
It's too much.
Too much space.
Right. Even,
you know, they're microscopic. They don't necessarily don't have to be smarter than us, but I'm sure they actually are smarter than us, wherever they are.
Right.
And I hope like there's pretty funny story. My brother's obsessed with aliens, right? And he follows this crazy scientist that has this crazy program. He has a crazy looking hair and he always talks about aliens. And so he sometimes randomly sends me like clips about their UFOs or a UFO sighting or whatever. And then, like a couple of years ago, this very, the number one newspaper in Spain called El Mundo announced that they were going to announce a groundbreaking headline at midnight of whatever day, right? So my brother calls me and he's like, finally, finally, they're going to say they're aliens. There's been contact with the government. So we waited, my brother and I, we waited until midnight to like refresh the thing on the computer with the newspaper. And we're like, come on, come on. It's aliens, man. It's aliens. They're here. They're here. They're here. They're finally here. You know what the headline was? Leo Messi's contract with Barcelona Football Club for like 600 million euros or something like that. That was
the oh, wow.
I mean, like, he's an alien too. So.
Like, what? I mean, yeah, great. The greatest player in the world. What are you talking about, man? I don't care about a $600 million contract with Barcelona. That was a total bummer.
I mean, he could definitely be an alien. The way he be.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Jordan's definitely won the World Cup, and good for him, you know.
Yeah, he's probably in company with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's probably an alien or a god or something.
Jordan, hello.
Yeah.
Oh, you grew up in Spain, right?
Yep.
So, like, who was like your favorite like football team?
Real Madrid, because I'm from Madrid. Yeah. I mean, por favor, you don't even have to ask that question. But here I am. So, you know, when the Michael Jordan documentary came out on ESPN, I think it was during COVID, right? Was it? It was the ESPN
documentary? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, of course, I knew who Michael Jordan is, but I didn't grow up watching basketball. I mean, I played in school, but it's not like a big sport in Spain. So anyway, here I am watching this documentary. And of course, you're like, but this man is an alien. This man is completely out of the ordinary superhuman. There's not, you can't even touch that. No one can touch that, you know? And my husband, who's American, would look at me and was like, yeah, of course. I mean, did you not know? You know, the Bulls? I say, well, but so then I became obsessed with the the Air Jordans, the shoes. And because he was in the documentary, like, those shoes are cool. I want to get a pair, like the red, black, and white. So here I am. So I want to get a pair of Jordans, thinking I'm just going to go to Nike.com and get a pair of Jordans.
No, we all wish it was that easy to get a pair of Jordans.
Yeah, and then I realized, oh no, it's $3,000 for like a pair from limited edition from year, da-da-da-da, you know? And yeah, my bubble was burst. But greatest of all times.
Oh, yeah. What other upcoming projects you have?
Well, I am starting to produce and direct. So I recently just rounded financing for a film that I'm going to direct in Spain, a short film. It's a
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a film with a beautiful social cause. I'm very aware of gender violence, especially in my country. Since COVID, it has skyrocketed. And the beginning of 2023, the first 20 days, every day, a woman died in the hands of their partner. This is 2023. This is not 20 years ago. This is not 15 years ago. It happens today. It's shocking to me that this continues to happen. And especially not only physical violence, but gaslighting now more than ever. I've learned, and I've always considered myself a strong woman and an independent woman and a feminist and all those things. And I myself, a few years ago in a relationship where I started to question myself and doubted myself. And it's because I had a partner that was gaslighting me. And I didn't know what gaslighting was until I look at it in hindsight, you know. So I became very aware. I thought, wow, if I come from a strong family, a strong, incredible parents that have given me everything, support to this day where I would be nowhere without them, incredible friends, incredible support system, incredible siblings. And even with all of that happened to me, that I'm always thinking of myself as being so strong. And I thought, wow, this is an epidemic, you know? So anyway, this is a film to raise awareness against that. We want to utilize it on all the charities and foundations in Spain and outside of Spain, because I'm going to film it both in English and Spanish, to raise awareness for that. I'm the ambassador to this children's foundation in Spain that focuses on abused children, abused minors up until 18 years old. So I'm working in conjunction with them to be able to help it send more messages through the platform of the foundation. So yeah, I'm gonna film it this summer. I'm donating obviously my time and my home. I have my family. We have a farm in Spain where we make organic goat cheese. We have a goat farm.
Oh, I love goat cheese.
Yeah,
like, I really do.
So we're gonna film it there, and yeah, it's my first endeavor in directing and producing, and I thought to do it for something like this with a message as the one I want to convey, and with the social message that I think is of importance, I'm excited to do it this way, you know. So yeah, hopefully I'll be done with it by the end of the summer.
What's the my bad? What's the foundation called? Just in case somebody wants to like.
Oh, check the it out. Foundation is called ANAR, ANAR, ANAR Foundation, and it works closely with the Interpol and the military police in Spain. So it's a phone line where all these minors, no matter where they are in Spain, they can call anonymously when they feel threatened, bullied, hurt, abused, all anything related to any kind of abuse. So we have an incredible team of psychiatrists and psychologists that answer the phone. And we answer more than between 2,000 and 3,000 calls a day. Five of those tend to be life-threatening, in which they get the police and the military police involved in case it's a life-threatening situation. So it's an incredible work they do. During COVID, it became even worse because a lot of these minors were at home with their abusers, you know, and calling was obviously harder. So we launched a campaign to have them text this special number where like they would text and the message would evaporate, and then they would be able to be tracked down if they wanted to. So there's a lot of work to do. I think utilizing a public platform, I think because of how lucky I've been in my life with so many blessings from God, both professionally and personally, I believe it's a duty to give back. And because I love children so much, and I think it's not a coincidence that I got cast as Mama Rosa in a movie playing a mom to all these kids, I've always gravitated towards children and little people in my life. So I don't know, it felt like an organic way of getting involved in things of this kind. So yeah,
thank you.
That's incredible. Yeah, sure. I love the synergy between that.
Yeah, definitely. It's I'm a big believer in angels, and I know my hand has been held by guardian angels for a long time, and many instances, many signs that it's almost comical, you know, to a point where you're like, I got you, I hear you, you know, I get the message. But when they say it in the Bible, you know, the more you look for, the more you'll find. And it's true. The more faith you have, the more things that come to you. So I'm a believer of that.
I'm gonna take that with me.
little faith helps. Right. We all need a little faith. I wish you could see the thing, the sticker that I have here. I don't think I can really see it. Anyway, it's a sticker of a little angel.
Oh.
But you know what? Hold on. I'll take a photo and I'll show you before you leave. Because it's very cute. It's like a multicolored.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
Hold on. Why can't you not? Oh, here. See the angel? Little Angel, guys.
I like
Happy weekend, everybody.
that. You got weekend plans?
You know what? Sleeping. Sleeping has just been it's been an intense few weeks of press and getting ready and nerves and anxiety and like the premiere and finding a dress and wearing it. And so I'm just stoked that the movie's coming out tonight, that I hope, I think in 77 countries, something crazy like that, including my own. Well, both, because I'm an American and a Spaniard. So yeah, I hope the movie does well and people enjoy it and people have a good time, and that's why I do what I do. And you know, if this makes people happy, which is much needed nowadays, I think my job is done, you know.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you for
Same.
coming on.
Of
Thank you,
course.
Tatiana, as well.
Thanks for having me.
So nice to meet you. It's
Thank
beautiful.
you.
And
Thank you.
if
You
I'm
too.
down
You're
in
a blast.
Atlanta, let's get a coffee or lunch. I'd love to
Yes. Let
see
me
you.
know when you guys shoot Shazam 3. I'm
Shazam
here.
three? Oh yeah, I'll let you know for sure.